Our guest preacher today is no stranger to Shiloh.
Amen.
He's been here many times. He is currently the Associate Director of Field Education at the Princeton Theological Seminary in Princeton, New Jersey. He's a man of God. He's going to bring a great message. So without further ado, allow me to present to some and introduce to others the Reverend Chester Paul.
Amen.
Amen.
Unto the Lord our God,
amen.
Who has blessed us to see yet another Sunday morning.
Amen.
I thank God for another day. Perhaps today I'll get something right. Pastor, in his absence, and his lovely family, and to Sister. Woodson, it is good to see you. It's good to come home again and to be with you in worship. I'm thankful to have my wife with me today of 41 years last Sunday. And we're on grandparent duty. You might stand, honey. I know you all know Mildred, but just. And these are the grandchildren, two of them anyway, Marcus and Makeda. Thank you. And we are doing our best to spoil them, as you can imagine. Having said all of that, I would like to share with you the text for the morning. It is taken from the Gospel of John, the 21st chapter. And I understand it is your tradition that we stand when we read these words. The Gospel of St. John, the 21st chapter. We will begin in the first verse. John 21:1. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee and two others of his disciples were together. John 21, verse 3. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the beach. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, have you any fish? They answered, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in for the quantity of fish. Verse 7. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his clothes, for he was stripped for work, and sprang into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire with fish lying on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Verse 12, Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Come and have breakfast. Now, none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Thanks be to the Lord our God. Pray with me a moment. Gracious God, our Father, who has blessed us to see another day.
Oh, yes.
We thank you.
Thank you.
We pray that you will help us, O Lord, to receive your word, that it may be buried deep in our hearts, that we will strive to live accordingly. Now let the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. For our subject this morning, I want to pose these words. It is your life. It is your life. It is your life. Two questions, though, follow upon that. One, what choices have you made regarding how you intend to live it out? I am wont to deliver these words, but I am afraid. The second question, what is it that gives life purpose? Why do you live? To what purpose do you live? Remember, life is a gift. It's a gift. Open it, or in other words, live it. Live it. As long as you have breath in your body, live. I've said to the elderly who have sometimes said, you know, I'm just ready to go home. I said, but you're not home yet. Until you get there, live. But live with purpose. Doesn't matter if you're 80 or 90, you still have purpose. Still ought to have reason to want to go on. Make healthy choices by making them prayerfully. Even God makes choices. One was to send his only begotten Son into the world that through him we might be saved. What a choice. And then the Son, in obedience to the Father, made a choice. For when he stood before the judgment seat of Pilate, the governor of Judea, who asked him in John 18:37, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. To this end I was born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. A choice and a purpose. A choice and a purpose. The Aramaic Bible, the Aramaic language being that which Jesus spoke, put it this way. Pilate said to him, you are a king then. Jesus said, you have said that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. A choice and a purpose. What choice have you made? And what purpose to which do you live? 1 year, when I was in Ghana on business, West Africa, I wanted to take in the broader culture, and some of you have been there. And while there, I toured one of the West Coast slave castles. And we went through this room and this place and that place. And then toward the end of the tour, we came to this large door. And above it was written the words, "The Door of No Return." After all that I had heard and all that the tourist guide had said and done, I was puzzled and yet at the same time afraid that I knew the answer. The door of no return. Free men and women, some of whom were princesses and princes and kings, were dragged from their homes and put in irons to force march to the shores of the sea. Locked down in what appeared to be a dungeon, a space much too small to accommodate them, with their only light being a hole high on the wall. No place to dispose of their waste. Just a shallow trench that ran along the floor, and then beneath the wall and into the sea. For there they were carried. From there they were carried upstairs to be processed and sold like cattle. Slave ships, beloved, sat up on the high seas waiting. Some were the Portuguese. And these owners sat upstairs looking upon their bodies as though they were cattle, buying and selling them for rum and buying and selling them for grain and other products. When the buying and bartering were done, they marched them in chains to this door of no return, identified as such, for after they passed through that door upon the high seas, the slave ships were waiting to carry them to distant shores, far from home, never to return again, leaving all that they knew and all that they were familiar with. The door of no return. Torn from their families, gripped by fear, they were confused and in shock. For they would never see home again. So I stepped through that door and looked, and it seemed as if I had gone back in time. For there were still crude dwelling places and rough-hewn out boats, men whose skin looked like leather from working the sun for so many years, their hair weather-beaten, scratching out a living from the sea. And yet 200 years prior, their ancestors' choices were to either be enslaved or to die, or both. And yet 200 years passed. And they never got home. Choices, beloved, choices are defining moments in history. Choices are defining moments in our lives. Am I going to go to Princeton? Am I going to go to Harvard? Am I going to go to community local school? Choices. But in the end, when the graduation is over and you march across the stage, the choices have just begun. Consider Jesus' history before the events of this morning text, before a fishing expedition and before breakfast on the beach, a history that this motley crew of fishermen were well aware of. What did posterity have to say about who he was? John wrote in his gospel and said, "He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." John said that's who he is. But I stopped by Shiloh this morning to ask you, who is this cooking breakfast on the beach? Who is this that bid you come and dine upon the pristine shores, providing for you fish and bread? John the Baptist, while in Bethany beyond Jordan, baptizing many who came to him, said, "He comes after me." But there's more to be said. He comes after me, but he ranks before me, for he was before me. That's who he is. Not only does he identify him for us, John made a conscious choice in life by not claiming to be someone he was not. I'm not going to punctuate everything. I'm going to ask you to pray with me. When priests and Levites asked John, "Well, who are you?" John said, he didn't tell them who he was. He told them who he was not. Makes a difference, doesn't it? He said, "I'm not the Christ. I'm not the Christ. That's not who I am." Not satisfied, to ask him again, "Are you Elijah?" And he made another choice, and he said, "I'm not." Still not satisfied, the priest and Levi to ask him, "Are you the prophet?" And he said, "No." They asked him yet again, "Who are you?" And then John set forth his purpose in life. John nailed down his purpose in life. He remained true to his identity, honest about who he was and who he was not. And he said, "I'm just the one crying in the wilderness. I'm just the one crying in the wilderness. That's all that I am. That's who I am. Make straight the way of the Lord." And the prophet Isaiah said, the next day, without being asked, John, seeing Jesus coming, pointed to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world." Life's choice and life's purpose wrapped up in one statement: I choose Christ. And my purpose for living is to tell a dying world who he is. Yes. Whom do you choose? And what is your purpose? This morning, chef, if you will, is the one who turned water into wine. His disciples would say that he forgave sin. The blind received their sight. The sick were healed and lepers went away clean. He's the one who embraced the Gentiles at Capernaum and raised the dead. He's the one who healed a man in Jerusalem who had laid by the sheep gate pool for 38 long years. He's the one who fed 5,000 with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. He is the one. He is the Lamb of God. That's who he is. And they would testify this morning right here in Trenton if they could get up. And they would tell you, "We saw him walking on the sea and we thought he was a ghost." But let's go back to John. "Behold the Lamb of God." That's who he is. Don't confuse yourself. He can speak to the wind and they will obey his voice. He can talk to the waves of the ocean and they too will hear his voice. That's who he is. Who is this fixing breakfast at the crack of dawn? He is the one who calls us to decision this morning. Just as he called many of his disciples so long ago, some of whom chose no longer to follow him. But today I stand with Simon Peter, who, when asked among those who remained with the Lord, I choose to stand with Peter. When he was asked the question of the Lord, "Do you also wish to go away? Do you also wish to go away? Others have left and gone away. They could not receive my saying. They could not receive my word. What choice will you make?" Peter. And so I stand with Peter today. who made a choice and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. They had believed that Jesus is the Holy One of God. It was a defining moment for Peter. A moment that gave purpose to his life and to the lives of those who remained with Christ. And so, Shiloh, I want so to deliver this word, but I am afraid. It's your life. How do you intend to live it out? What will posterity have to say about who you were? Will it say you were a good father? Will it say you were a good mother? Will it say that you, like John, the author of our text this morning, confess to Christ to be the creator and the source of all life? Will posterity say that you, like John the Baptist, remain true to yourself and to your self-identity? And was not dependent upon trying to be someone you're not. When the record is read on high, will it say that you pointed souls to Christ? Will the historical record, your obituary, if you will, say you told of his miracles and that God will forgive? Will it say that of you? When you face the defining moment in life, what will your children say? Will they say, Mama believed in God and in a God who can't? And when we did not seem as though we had anything left, and we couldn't find her, where we did find her was on her knees, talking to the only one who is a source of life, the only one who can. When they say, Mama believed, will they say, Mama believed in a God who can? God whose mission to the world is to be undertaken at his command and under his authority. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. It is your life. It is your life. It is your life. How do you intend to live it out? Like the disciples of our text this morning, will you, having confessed to Christ, having walked with him daily, will you go back to living the way you used to live? Doing the things you used to do, returning to familiar places. How long before we surrender to the Lord and allow the Spirit to move in our lives? When will we realize that the more tightly we seek to control things, insisting that fishing must be done one way?
Yes.
How long will we come up with empty nets? When will we, like John, take the time to recognize who the Lord is? To recognize that we have a mission in life. We have a purpose in life. We have an investment. And it's not about me, but it is about the Lord. Perhaps I'm being too hard on the disciples. You say, you know, you're being pretty hard on those guys. What's the problem? After all, they needed to have some time to work things out, because the events of the last days had been rather overwhelming for them. You're not giving them any slack. Jesus had been arrested, after all, and had not received a fair trial. He had been beaten, he had been degraded, he had been humiliated, he had been murdered, buried, and now he is sitting on the beach cooking fish. I think I would probably be a bit confused too. I think I'd be a little bit confused. Set back a bit. I suppose anyone would be confused because of the possibility that they were perhaps more than a little confused. Notice something. Jesus was not standing on the beach yelling at them saying, "What's wrong with you men? Have you lost your minds?" He didn't say to them, Mary Magdalene told you that she saw me after the resurrection on the evening of the first day of the week after I rose from the dead. I stood before you and you were glad. I breathed on you and you received the Holy Spirit 8 days later. I came to you when you were in the house with Thomas. Don't you remember his testimony?
Yeah.
He didn't say that. He didn't say not only that, but I did many more signs in your presence. What more must I do before you get it? He did not say, I know you know who I am. Because he already knew that they knew who he was. No, he did not criticize them, but simply said at the break of day, and I just love it when I stop and think about it. Children, have you any fish? No, he didn't say, why don't you remember me? No, he didn't say, why did you go off and leave me? No, he did not say, why did you deny me when you had an opportunity to take a stand? No. And when the cock crowed twice, you denied me thrice. No, he did not say that. But he reminded me of what God asked Adam. Adam, where are you? When he asked, children, have you any fish? That's what came back to me. Adam, where are you? Cast your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some fish. Bring some of the fish that you have just caught. Come and have breakfast. As they broke bread together, they were reminded of their mandate. They were reminded of their purpose to be fishers of men, as Jesus used the words catch and fish the way he had done so many times when declaring their purpose in life, their purpose in life. Remember, in Mark's gospel, he wrote, and passing along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. He set forth their purpose in life from the very beginning. But somewhere along the way, they lost their way. And some went away and did not follow him any longer. Some denied him. And when the deciding moment in history was before them, some chose to go a different direction. But Jesus did not upbraid them when he stood by the sea and asked them, children, have you any fish? No, he said, cast your net on the right side and you will find some. They were reminded that upon the word and authority of Jesus the Christ, they were to cast their nets upon the nations and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. That's what their mandate was. That's what their purpose was. But Jesus left it to them to decide whether or not they wanted to do it. Will you follow me or will you too go away? To whom shall we go? Has there been a time, Shiloh, when you lost your focus? Pray with me now. I'm getting ready to quit. I am wont to deliver this sermon, but I am afraid. Has there been a time when you've lost your focus? Have you strayed from God? Have you strayed from God's purpose for your life? Have you found yourself adrift, just living, just existing, going aimlessly through life, depressed, living on the wrong side of the boat? Going to work and coming home and fixing supper and fixing breakfast and going to work and cleaning your clothes and washing the clothes and amen. Sunday morning, go to church. Saturday evening, go away. Sunday morning, go to church. I am wont to deliver this sermon, but I am afraid. Just living on the wrong side of the boat. Why not go to breakfast with Jesus and regain your purpose for living? Why not? As the word of the Lord said, let down your net and rediscover God's will for your life. And when the Lord asks you, have you any food? Have you remembered who you are? Cast your net on the right side of the boat and find yourself again. Stop letting other folk define who you are. I know who I am. I am the Lord's. Well, I am wont to, but let me hurry up as my time is done. Have you remembered who you are? Cast your net on the right side of the boat and find yourself again. Christianity is to be responsible and obedient action.
Yes, yes.
Christianity, I'm glad you asked me to say that again. Christianity is to be responsible and obedient action. Turn off the TV and catechize your children. Tell them who the Lord is. Tell them what He should mean in life to them. Show them that there is a better way and that they do not have to depend upon alcohol or drugs and all these other things. Tell them that you know a God who can. Tell them that you met Him by the shore side, and tell them while you were there listening to the waves as they lapped upon the seashore, while you heard the seagulls calling out their names, as you listened as the boats just kind of bobbed up and down in the ocean, you heard the word of the Lord calling out to you saying, whom do you say that I am? Tell them that Jesus is the Christ. And without Him, we can do nothing. Tell them that He is the Son of God. Tell them that He was in the beginning with God, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. Tell them that He is. Turn off your iPhone. Turn off your iPad. Turn off your that other thing we read books on. And get down on your knees with them and pray.
All right. Yeah.
Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and I'm about done, a teacher of the church, writer of profound theological and biblical insight, and yet close to contemporary life and sensitive to reality. A witness who saw the way of discipleship and walked it to the end uttered these words. I am wont to say them, but they challenge me too. He said, when Christ calls a man, and I'll insert a woman, He bids him or her to come and die. When Christ calls a man or woman, He bids him or her to come and die. Die to your old ways. Die to your pasts that were discouraging and that had you going in the wrong direction. Die to the lies that you've heard. Die to the ways that led you down the pathway of destruction. Die to all of that. And live unto Christ.
Yes.
Who is this cooking breakfast on the beach? Some said, well, he's a good man. Others said, no, he is leading people astray. Shiloh and visitors today, I ask you, whom do you say that he is? Have you decided that he truly is the light of the world? Have you honestly believed that if you follow him, that you will no longer walk in darkness, but will have the light of life? Can you say with Christ, I know where I came from, and I know where I'm going. I have decided to follow Jesus, one who is humble enough to heal his enemy, and yet determined enough to stay the course. I have decided to follow Jesus, one who sees a gross miscarriage of justice as an opportunity to fulfill his purpose in life. It is your life. What is your choice? What is your purpose? To God be the glory. Amen. If you're here today, will you come? Whosoever will and choose Christ. Whosoever will. He is sitting by the seashore and he is cooking breakfast just for you. But you have to make a conscious decision. He is calling and he knows your name. Just as he knew the disciples knew who he was, he knows who you are. And Jesus the Christ knows where you are. And he's leaving it up to you to decide to follow him or to go another way. What a God we serve. As the singing choir sings, make a decision and come to Christ today. You come.